Rob is looking after me.
You're listening to Irish Radio Canada's Home and Abroad, and we're at Folk Alliance International in Montreal, where we have a gathering and collection of musicians from all over the world, but quite a good contingent that come from Ireland, north, south, east and west. And Kieran McGowan is one of those that comes from north. Welcome, Kieran.
Hiya.
Musically, you've been performing, playing music for a long number of years.
Oh,
a Belfast man?
Long time, all my life, yeah.
And where was the influence?
The influence is that in 1936, my mother, as a 14-year-old girl, won the All-Ireland Fesh singing in Gaelic.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So she was musical.
Right.
And so brought the family up musical.
Right, and being brought up musical, was there, were there instruments around the house? Or was it voice? Well, like
it was more voice.
More voice than
yeah.
It. Yeah.
Mammy would always be singing. But she had a tremendous, huge collection of classical records.
Right.
So although she'd be singing, and she'd be singing in Gaelic, and she was a Fáinne wearing Gaelic speaker.
The Fáinne Agam's Rouen fresh.
But her record collection was the full range of classical, from
right.
Wagner to Mozart to Beethoven to Schubert to whomsoever. You
grew up West Belfast, was it?
I grew up in Anderson's Town, West Belfast.
That's West
Belfast. Yeah.
And classical music wouldn't have been the music of the area, would it?
It was the music of my mother's.
I know.
But the reason I mention it is because it was always in my ears.
Yeah.
So there was always music, like all the time, all the time. She just had music on all the time, so you always had an idea of melody and this, that, and the other.
So
other people might be growing up in the traditional household with the flutes and the boron and the whatever you want, the mandolin, but we always had classical on.
Right. So, Kieran, then, after when you left school and you were to pursue putting food on the table, it wasn't through music.
Actually, yeah, my first job after university was a program promotions manager for Ulster Television. I was only a young fella, 22, and I got the job of program promotions manager for Ulster Television. And after a couple of years of doing that, I realised this was something I'd rather do when I was older. And I gave the job up and went home, told my dad, give that job up. And he nearly had a heart attack. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to put my guitar around my shoulder and go off to Holland. And I did.
Right.
And within 6 months, I was home living with my parents. It didn't work out.
Right. And he didn't say, I told you so. He did.
Probably did, yeah.
He did. So what did you do then? Seeing as you now have discovered that touring Holland isn't lucrative at that stage.
I put many years into music and continued on. And, you know, there was a lot of trouble in Belfast. There was a lot of murder and bombing and assassination and all the rest of it. And I grew up through all of that. But we all struggled on as musicians, but it was really difficult. So I used to go down to Dublin and I would play with Freddie White, or I would play with Declan Sinnott, guitarist with Mary Black. So I would be playing with the likes of those guys in whatever the pubs were back in those days. That would be the Bagot Inn and the Meeting Place, which is the top of Gardner Street and all that. And then I would be hanging out with Jimmy McCarthy. I'd go down to Cork, and Jimmy would come up to Belfast.
Right.
So I was always in the swim. And then when big artists would come over, I was always broke, but I was in the swim. But whenever big artists would come over, like back then, it would have been the likes of Richard Thompson, or John Martin, can't remember, to be honest with you, Loudon Wainwright. Those kind of folks would come, and they'd either be playing the Wicklow Hall in Belfast, or they'd be playing the if you remember, the Boxing Ring in Dublin, the Stadium.
I remember the Stadium, yeah.
So I used to open for all them characters.
Oh, right. I remember that day.
That was
on the South Circular Road.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's on the South Circular.
So that was the early days, but I was always broken. So one day I just gave up because I was down in Monaghan, you know, the square in Monaghan, there's a bar there, and I was supposed to get 50 punts. That's how long ago that was. And because there wasn't too many people in the bar, the guy gave me 35, he shorted me. And I was driving home, and I was really annoyed. And my girlfriend at the time was pretty annoyed at simply the fact that we had 2.5 hours to get home to Belfast, and she's up at 7 in the morning.
Right.
And she started arguing with me, and in that very moment, I said, to hell with this, and I got out of the car, pulled the guitar off the back seat, and smashed it in the headlights. Got home, ripped the phone out of the wall, and I said, no guitar, no phone, I'm out of music. Done.
And how long did you get out of it?
I didn't play for 9 years.
Right.
And I took up photography. And for one reason or another, that worked.
Right. And during the 9 years when you had done the photography, was there anything there that was niggling at you?
No, damn all.
Right.
Because, anyway, the point is, I mean, I'm back in music.
But the journey that brings people back, or that people
many people get burnt out on failing to achieve their dream, you know.
Yeah.
But I subsequently made good on other parts of the dream. But anyway, at the time it was a big. I just couldn't be bothered going on for 50 punt and all the rest.
And that's one of the sad realities of.
It's a reality show, right?
It is. It is the sad reality of the artistic world.
Yeah, it's
that
tough.
Most artists.
It's tough.
It's tough. So when you threw yourself back into music, was it? Did you at that stage say? I'm going to make a career of this.
No, it was a strange. It's a fun story, and I'll try to be really short. I went home to Belfast, and I was just completely up to my neck in photography and loving it, because that's an artistic pursuit
as
well.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine said, "Have you heard Jimmy McCarthy's latest CD?" And I said, "I didn't even know Jimmy had a CD, because I'd been out of her night." And she gave me Jimmy's CD, and I brought it home. And I didn't have a guitar, and another friend by coincidence lent me his car because he was going off to Gibraltar, and I dropped him to the airport, came back, opened the trunk of the car, and there was a guitar in it. And bloody hell, that's coincidental. And so I brought it inside, put on Jimmy's CD, figured out the chords, and I went, oh, real nice chord structure, lovely writing. And I had a mad idea that I would try to get on board. So I gave, MCD promotions, Eamon McCann, or down in Dublin, Dennis Desmond. And I gave them a call and I said, listen, any chance of opening for Mary Black? And he scoffed at me and he said, you haven't been around for 9 years, why would we put you on with Mary Black?
Right.
And I said, well, I'm just asking.
Yeah.
He says, well, you know, I'd have to ask the management. And I said, well, it's Decky's in it, ask him. So he phones me back a few days later and he says, you're on the concert.
Right.
And I said, that's brilliant. That's Mary Black in August. And he said, no. And I said, what are you talking about? He says, Van Morrison and Bob Dylan in May. And I said, oh, right, okay. Right. And he made a mistake. He phoned the wrong manager. And it turns out Van Morrison's manager is a friend of mine too. Right. At the time.
Yeah. So.
And he was in an office in Soho, and he told me later, he said, when these guys phoned me up and asked me if you could open for Dylan and Morrison, I said, stick him on.
So what time of the year was that like? How much notice were you getting if you were told you were going to be on in May? When are you talking?
No, I had about 3 or 4 weeks to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
so I made hay while the sun shone.
Well, yeah.
And
yeah.
I was on the television, in the newspapers, and all the local boy makes good.
Right.
But, you know, life is funny.
It is. It is.
Never. Life is
so
funny.
At that stage, then, you're saying, well, okay, I'm back.
I was back.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, life is weird, because within a week or so, I had been contacted by... Oh, I never told you, but in photography, I ended up, in those years, I was the photographer and the graphic designer for Capitol Recording Studios in Hollywood.
Okay.
Music didn't work. Photography worked.
And
I ended up in the music business as a photographer.
And you were living in California.
I was living in California, yeah. And I was shooting for the Grammys in 93 and stuff like that. I mean, photography was working.
Yeah.
And I was shooting for Sony, and I was shooting for Polygram, and I was printing for the Charles, because I'm a darkroom printer, you know. I was doing hand printing for the Charles Chaplin archives, and I was mad. Photography was working.
Right.
And paying the bills. As it so happened, I was offered, would I come and teach? And I said, I would have a go at it. And within a few weeks, I just fell in love with it, and I just took the job. Right. I said, right, you be. They offered me a full-time job.
Teaching.
Practically about 10 days after, I was on a roll with Dylan and Van Morrison and all that. And I just thought, you know what? I'll take the job. And that's what happened to me. So I disappeared off for another 20 years.
Okay, so 20 years elapsed.
And so recently I decided enough's enough, and I'll go back to music. And right. I just quit. I just said, right. And I handed in my notice, and San Jose City College had to find themselves a new instructor. And it's the maddest thing in the world, because you wake up in the morning and you realize you just threw away your six-figure salary for the same dream you had as when you were a kid.
Yeah.
But hey, I have my pension plan, so I'm all right.
Yeah, well, some dreams kind of, there's silver linings everywhere.
Yeah.
So when did you come, when was that?
That was 4 years ago.
Okay, so you're now back full-time 4 years.
Yeah, I'm gigging in California quite a bit, and I'm gigging in Northern Ireland anyway, quite a bit. And recently I started reaching out, and I've got strange places to go that I've never seen. I mean, I'll be doing something in Virginia, and I'll be doing something in Maryland, which apparently is called Maryland.
Yeah, Maryland, yeah.
And so bits and pieces are coming together.
Good.
Yeah.
And over the 4 years then, what brings you to Folk Alliance then?
Ah, that's a great question, because those 4 years also encompass the pandemic.
Yep.
And so during the pandemic, when you and me and everybody else was just sitting at home stuck,
I was.
And we're all online.
I was. Well.
Oh, you were breaking the law.
No, I was cycling around the Cumbres.
Oh, good, okay, but you were out in the fresh air. But anyway, it was during that period that I researching how I could play whatever way one can during the pandemic. And I stumbled upon Folk Alliance International, just stumbled upon it, knew nothing about it. And they said they had this great big conference planned for Kansas, which had been cancelled.
Yep.
And that it was going to be online.
Yep.
And that it was free to everybody.
Okay.
So I jumped online.
That was 2021.
Something 21. Like that, yeah.
Yeah, because it was 2023, I think, was the first back in face, maybe.
Oh, yeah, no, we're talking to like 4 years ago, 21. Yeah, yeah. And I met all sorts of people online there. And made friends and played a few Zoom calls and things like that, and in the next 1 or 2 years I started thinking, well, those friends of mine live in those online friends of mine, and I just made my mind up last year, I tell you what, I'd go to Farm, which is the Folk Alliance region Midwest in Chicago. So I went there in October, and I think I met you there.
No, I haven't done any of the regions.
Alright. But anyway, I made my own little alliance with some Chicago-based, or Milwaukee-based, actually.
Yes.
Just outside Chicago, I suppose. Yeah. And so he's here with me at Folk Alliance, and we're playing six showcases, and another fella has joined us from San Francisco.
Right, and you're going as Irish Soul.
And we go as Irish Soul.
Yeah. So this is your first time at the Human Folk Alliance International.
Yeah.
And we're into, I've lost count of days. I think we're into day two or three or four. I'm not sure.
No, we're on four.
We're on four.
We started on Wednesday.
It feels like 10.
It's a marathon.
Have you ever been at anything like this before?
No, I went to Chicago and I was overwhelmed. There were hundreds of people there. And then I came here and I was overwhelmed more than I can tell you, because there's thousands of people here. And I'm glad I went to Chicago, because at least it gave me a taste of the madness that persists. But actually, it's like going to the Louvre Museum in Paris.
touch the good minister because it's like going to the Louvre.
The Louvre. Okay. It's like a big museum like that, you couldn't do it in a day.
Right.
So I just decided, all right, I'm going to be focused here. And that's the way to do
and
it.
And being focused here, as they were in day four, how has that focus translated?
Every single day I look at the schedule, I pick what I want to go see, and if there's a couple hours in between, I actually walk straight out and go somewhere else and hang out somewhere else for a couple hours. Keep me fresh.
But part of the benefit is to be seen also.
Yeah, well, I'm seen in those things that I go to.
Right.
And I'm seen in the showcases.
Right.
The private ones.
Yeah. So, but I'm saying insofar as that's a focus, that the benefit from an artist's perspective is to be seen. In many ways.
That's why I'm dressed up here for you.
Okay.
With my tie and my tie pin and the best blue linen shirt.
That's why we're on radio.
Can you all see it?
But, so how do you feel from a showcase perspective? Like, to put it in one way, has it been worth your while, would you say, so far?
Yeah, it has been worth my while because I went to some meetings where I met and talked to important people who book venues,
right,
and festivals, and anything from a 50-seater to a 5,000-seater. And they all want me, every single one of them.
Right. What more can you
ask? It is an Irish man you're talking to.
I know, I'm aware of that, yeah. I know, I'm putting on the wellies.
In fact,
it's waiters I mean.
No, it's worth it because I've made my pitch.
Right.
Let's say they don't want me at all.
Yeah.
I've made my pitch.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to have come.
Good.
Yeah. I also got to tell you, I'm in love with Montreal. I've only seen about four streets, but I like the architecture.
It's a beautiful city.
I like the fact that you see a green hill when you look down the avenue.
Kieran, we're going to wrap up, and in wrapping up, we're going to share a piece of music, and you're going to tell me what that piece of music is.
And it's from my latest CD, I presume?
Well, you're telling me.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's called 1973. It's the latest track I've made. It has some strong Belfast musicians on it, the likes of Nicky Scott, who tours with Mary Black.
Okay.
And Gavin Ferris, drummer. With Van, and it's about a little boy growing up in Ballymena, out in the country, beautiful summers. His memory is playing football, kicking it around, but in the background there's murder and mayhem and bombing and killing and all the rest of the bloody stuff that our generation grew up with.
Right.
And that's like, he's reminiscing that he knew nothing of it. I remember the same thing myself, you know. I mean, I remember this. I remember being 13 and 14. I didn't understand what was going on. Mm-hmm. But it's a nice juxtaposition in literary terms, anyway, between the violence that's going on, from which a wee boy is protected, because my man and dad wouldn't let me near any of that. Although it touched me. I have witnessed murder, to put it in a nutshell, and I love this song. I didn't write it. It's most unusual. I write everything myself, but I was asked to cover this song that was written by the head gardener of Belfast Municipal Gardens, Botanic Gardens.
And where will people find out more about you?
Oh, it's on my website,
which is
KieranMacGowan.com.
And that's Mac with an M-A-C.
And it's Kieran with a C-I-A, R-A-N, M-A-C.
Kieran, thanks a million for taking the time.
Thanks ever so much.